like a mile behind you on your side. It'll be really awkward. No.
The County Cork power cut won't get us today. Season's greetings and welcome to this week's episode of the Christmas Cracker, a Christmas film podcast where we discuss the absolute best and worst Christmas movies that the world has to offer. And who knows, ladies and gentlemen, one day we may find the world's truest Christmas cracker. Hello, my name's Kate and I'm here with my co-host
Sam. Hello.
Hello. Before we go on today, I'd just like to renounce my hatred for anyone who came to personally attack me for the fact that Frozen is not a Christmas movie. I don't care about your opinion.
You got so attacked.
She is there. It's a movie full of snow. Yes, I understand it's set in summer, but so are many other Christmas movies that we've watched.
The Christmas Bunny had like a day of Christmas.
She's a winter princess / queen, and she comes out, her time to shine in merchandising is at Christmas. So I don't care what you say.
I loved listening to Mickey Waffles this week, where you were like, we did Frozen. And Sinead was like, is it? And you were like, yes, don't even finish the question.
And I think you'll find, when will Frozen be the big movie on RT? In December.
December time.
At Christmas. So, with all those facts, give it out. This week we are doing Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square.
Which is definitely a Christmas film.
But my argument is that I don't think there was enough Christmas in it.
I agree.
There really wasn't that much Christmas in it.
It's an excellent point, yeah.
Only for the fact that she was like, Christmas Eve! Like you wouldn't have even really known it was Christmas otherwise.
You make an excellent point there, Kate. That's not something I had considered too much.
There's actually, yeah, do you know what I mean? There's actually not a lot of Christmas in this. Mm. But like, it is very much at Christmas time. It's called Christmas on the Square.
Mm-hmm.
We know for a fact it is at Christmas. There's just not many Christmas activities to showcase the fact that it is at Christmas time.
Mm. That's true.
Has this been a stage production?
Yeah, so this was initially made as a stage production and then it was adapted into a film. And I think that is very clear. It was made for stage.
Very, very clear. Like, yeah. the scene changes,
mm-hmm.
As you said yesterday, I was voice noting Sam while I was watching this because I was like, what the fuck? the very like one layered character,
mm-hmm.
personalities, and mm-hmm. the very, very musical theatre dancing, acting,
yes.
like mm-hmm. lines, like,
yeah,
the over, like Regina, how she's like overly dramatically evil without being evil kind of thing.
Yeah,
it all just screams musical theatre.
Absolutely. And I'm sure, I want to put this on the record, I'm sure that this is an utterly amazing stage production and I would love to see it. The movie, however, is not.
Isn't it mad though how you like, you watch this and you're like, what a stupid concept for a movie. But then if you thought about it and you were like, wait, phrase this as like a musical theatre show,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, wow, that sounds amazing.
I actually think they would have been better off recording a stage production and just putting that up,
like Hamilton-esque, mm-hmm. just like record yeah. the show and
because that's
professionally
becoming more common. You know, Shrek the Musical is on Netflix now. Newsies has both versions on Disney Plus. I haven't either, although I did see it live, so I haven't.
Was it good? I've heard it's actually pretty good.
It's good crack. Like, is it my favourite musical in the world? No.
Well, no.
But it's good crack, say, you know?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's and there's definitely some beautiful songs in it and stuff, so mm-hmm. it's well worth a watch.
Like, there are a good few musicals that are professionally recorded, like, for, like, their 50th anniversaries and stuff,
yeah.
So
I think they would have been better doing something like that, because to me it just felt like It was so... Sorry, we're not even, like, fully into it. I'm like, let me just dive deep into everything. I found that, like, it was so surface level in terms of the storyline. And that's something you can get away with in a musical, because your belief is kind of suspended and you're just enjoying the songs and the dancing and you're mesmerised. Whereas you expect a little bit more from a film. So when they were just like, and here's all the plot conveniently wrapped up, I was like, sorry, what? How?
Yeah.
I would like to dive more into this.
Like, but you're right though. Like, in a musical, you completely expect that. You expect all of those little B plots to be summed up within the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. All through song, like, very quickly. Like, bish, bash,
oh,
bosh.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, also, yeah, it's like, oh, here's the end number. They're still alive. They're this, they're that, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, great, let's all go home.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, from a movie, not so much. So Christmas on the Square, the full title being Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square, is a 2020 American Christmas musical film directed and choreographed by Debbie Allen, starring Dolly Parton, Christine Baranski,
sure,
Jennifer Lewis, and Treat Williams. The plot follows the wealthy Virginia Fuller returning to her hometown to evict the residents and sell the land to a mall developer. Netflix released the film on November 22nd, 2020. Debbie Allen. She rings many bells.
Yeah. I don't know why.
But I feel like she had something to do with Disney at one point.
I think she does a lot on Grey's Anatomy. Debbie! Fuck off! She's your one... Sorry, lads. I've just Googled it. I got proof. She's, oh, what's her name in Grey's Anatomy? I literally have watched this 1,000 times. Oh my god, what is her name? Jackson's mom.
I'm not that far in Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert. She's in it.
I don't worry about it.
Debbie Allen, Grey's. Catherine Avery. Catherine Fox. Got it. Sorry.
Well done.
I didn't even Google it. It just came to me.
She has directed loads of things. Like, loads of things.
Is it the same Debbie Allen, though? Am I definitely right? Or are there, like, a few?
She's in Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, yeah. That's
she directed Grey's Anatomy 2010 to present.
Yeah.
So it would also make sense that she was in it.
Mad.
Yeah, so she's done loads of... I feel like I talked about it before once, but now I obviously can't pinpoint what I know her for. But anyway, Debbie Allen. She's an American actress, dancer, choreographer, singer-songwriter, director, producer, and former member of the President's Committee on the Arts and Humanities. Wow. She's been nominated 20 times for an Emmy Award, winning 3, and 2 Tonys, and has also won a Golden Globe Award and received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 1991.
Wow.
So she is, yeah, she's 71 as well. She's really...
She's brilliant in Grey's Anatomy, FYI, when you get to it.
There you go. So yeah, it is choreographed by Debbie Allen. On review, Rotten Tomatoes, the film holds an approval rating of 64% based on 33 critic reviews, with an average rating of 5.4 out of 10. The website's critics' consensus reads, Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square isn't quite up to its star standards, but its overwhelmingly good cheer and campy self-awareness may be just what viewers are looking for. On Metacritic, it has a weighted average score of 50 out of 100 based on 4 critics, indicating mixed or average reviews. On
IMDb, think that's accurate.
On IMDb, it also has 5.2 out of 10.
Yeah.
So, I think...
I think they're fair scores. What about you?
Yeah, I'd agree. Like, I didn't love it, but I also didn't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah. An embittered Scrooge of a woman plans to sell her small town, regardless of the consequences, to the people who live there. That's pretty much it. I do feel like there was enough, like, unknowns in the movie that kept coming up, that kept grabbing me back in when I started getting a bit, like, I'm done with this. I suppose we'll talk about them when we talk through the movie now.
Yeah.
But like, there were a couple of things and I was like, oh. Like every now and again. And I was like, wow, look at that.
Just when you thought you were done, it pulled you back.
Yeah, pretty much. So let's read some quick Rotten Tomatoes reviews, mm-hmm. and then we'll get into the movie. It's hard to figure out quite where Christmas on the Square is headed in any given moment, despite the film borrowing liberally from festive classics. I think that's kind of the point, though.
Yeah.
Campy is camp with a diploma and a martini, and Christmas on the Square is a drunk.
That's very good. Yes.
Old fashioned to a fault, but hey, it's almost Christmas. This is a song and dance version of the holiday transformation story. It's just not a particularly good one. That's a bit harsh. While the limits of the budget may be visible, it's a quaint little project with a big heart. What was its budget?
Well, that's a good question.
Oh, Wikipedia doesn't say its budget.
I'll Google it while you review.
It's embarrassing, cringy, sickly sweet, unoriginal, but God help me, I do like this film. Jesus, alright. It's not going to win any awards, and I'd definitely change the channel if someone walked in and caught me watching it, but it's adorable and uplifting with a positive message. It's the sort of film where you get the impression that the only thing the creators wanted to achieve was to put a smile on your face. That whole review sounds like one big oxymoron.
Yeah.
A
lot of reviews are, though. I always find that when you read reviews, a lot of people are like, I didn't like it, but all of this was brilliant. This part was terrible, but I liked this part. I'm like, you don't know how you feel. There is no information on budgets.
No, that's annoying. I love musicals and I love Dolly, but wow, this movie contains non-stop music. It was a little hard to get my head around it. I probably won't watch it again, and I do watch movies I like over and over again. But it's a musical.
It's a musical.
It's a musical.
It's a musical.
Like,
a musical.
What do you expect from that? Like, I do
understand. I know that sometimes I think people don't realise that sung through musicals also exist.
And they don't expect
so much singing.
I hate sung through musicals.
Fair.
So, like, one of the reasons I love Heather so much is because it's not. It's yeah. more like a concert.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to act for a bit, and then we have a song.
Yeah.
That's, like, included in the story, but also separate.
Mm. I would say this is quite close to a sung through.
It is. It is quite close. But then, like, I think my problem with sung through musicals, this is just a personal little caveat for me. My problem with sung through musicals is I get bored very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like same
melody.
I'm like, yeah. Like, that's one of the reasons I hate Phantom of the Opera.
Don't get me started on how much I hate Phantom of the Opera. My mother and my friend Mark loves Phantom of the Opera.
Ed loves Phantom of the Opera. It's his favourite musical.
I don't get it.
And I just think
the Phantom's just a bit of a dick. Like, I don't get why people love him.
No, neither do I. But I watched it because it was one of those like 50th anniversary specials recorded in the big theatre.
Yeah.
And I watched it while it was on YouTube. And it was actually, for anyone saying, it was fully legal. That it was put up on the page.
Oh, yeah, no. Andrew Lloyd Webber started doing that over lockdown. Yeah. Just FYI.
Just FYI. fully, I knew what I was doing. And I was just like, I got so bored so quickly. But then Hamilton is also a sung through musical, but I love it to bits. Mm-hmm. And that is because every single song is completely different from the song that is before and after it.
yeah.
And it holds my attention. I also do not like ballads or anything along those lines. Anything where it's a female singer singing by herself, I don't enjoy it. I get immensely bored, so much so that when I listen to the Hamilton soundtrack, I have all of Philippa Sue's solos. Like, do you know the way on Spotify you can be like, don't play this song?
Yes, hidden.
So I have all of Philippa Sue's solos like muted out, so I don't have to listen to them. Nothing against Philippa Sue, absolutely love her, but I just especially Burn, I'm like, okay, I get it. I get it, he cheated on you, okay.
Okay, yeah, you're sad, move on.
Or like the ballad in, everyone's gonna probably hate me, but like the ballad in Wicked.
Define Gravity?
No, oh. There's another one. Not Define Gravity.
I'll be honest, Wicked is not one of the ones I know.
There's another one where she has like a, like quite a slowish, like sort of, and I'm like, I'm bored.
What about the famous Eponine What's her one?
I don't like anything to do with
Lewis. Two song through.
Don't even try me.
On My Own, that's what it's called. Sorry, it's really famous and I couldn't think of the name of it.
So yeah, I think that's kind of it for a bit of background on Christmas on the Square. I would like to preface this with whatever we say in this little review. Dolly Parton is queen.
Queen.
Like, she is the reason a whole state can read. She, in the past few months, like in the past year, she has been single-handedly raising money for vaccine research.
She wrote a whole song about vaccines.
Vaccine. One hell of a woman.
She did. She rewrote it. She sung it when she got hers. Did you not see the clip? It's brilliant.
No.
Oh, you should look it up.
I have to look that up.
Yeah, no.
So yeah, just want to preface that with, we love Dolly. She's an amazing woman. Like, she has
only ever used... I spoke to her once. She's lovely.
Wow.
There's my little name drop there.
So yeah, without further ado, let's talk about Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square.
So, the movie opens with a very long, nostalgic opening of, you know, the oil paintings and a bit of music, and the credits are first, which is something that rarely happens now in films.
It's also something that makes me very bored.
I understand.
If anyone hasn't grasped, my attention span is
short.
It did remind me of Mary Poppins.
I thought that too. The second one, or just the original as well?
Oh, both.
I know they both did it, yeah.
They both do the same thing.
That's true, actually, yeah. I had the same kind of nostalgic feeling. And I enjoyed it, but yeah, after a certain bit, I'm like, okay.
That's the thing. They're nice for about 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get in your actor... No actors. Get in your, like, director, your producer, your choreographers. Like, the top build... Like, your top builds people that obviously aren't your actors. Get them in. But then I don't care about the casting director.
Yeah.
I don't care about this. I don't care about that. Like, they're... Like, I'm sorry, but you guys can go at the end. You can have the directors, the producers, the executive producers, and the choreographers.
It's a very aesthetic choice, I think, when you're making a film to do something like this. And it has to be done really well that it grips. Like, I personally found that with Mary Poppins Returns, it kept my attention because the paintings were, like... old nods, and so you were like, I remember this, whereas this one was just nice Christmas scenery and I was like, I'm finished now. you can start the movie. And it opens, of course, with a song, obviously. And it opens with Christmas on the Square, and I've written down that this is a very cringy dance opening, and it took me aback because I wasn't expecting such cringe so early. I don't know why.
I wasn't expecting it. Like, honestly, I didn't know. I actually had no clue what I was going into.
I also had no notion.
I didn't know if it was like something that was like hosted by Dolly Parton. Where, like, she was going to introduce a lot of people and be like, now we're going to do this, or now we're going to do that, or something like that. I didn't realise that it was like an actual movie.
I knew it was a movie, so, I just didn't know what it was about.
So then I wasn't fully expecting a full, like, proper, like, stage theatre production dance number. But once I realised what was happening, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It took me aback a little bit, and I was like, okay, no, I can bop. It's a good, like, I'm into it. What I will say was off-putting was Dolly Parton is dressed as a homeless person, or her version of a homeless person, but with these terrible CGI stars.
Yeah, around her. It was really weird. It was like she was green screened into every scene.
Yeah, and I just didn't get that, because I was like, okay, fair enough, I understand if it said low budget, but, like, just don't put the star. We'll get that you're not there. You know, there's other ways to showcase that.
I also wonder, was it a case of she wasn't on set?
Potentially.
And so they just had to film those bits on a green screen and just, like, basically plop her in.
Because she does look like she's not there.
Yeah.
It's a bit strange. But then in other scenes, she does look like she is there.
I wonder, was it for, like, pickups or something? Where they filmed the stuff. She'd gone back home.
Mm.
The set was gone. Because obviously it's very much filmed on a set.
Oh yeah, I talk about that in a few seconds, yeah.
And I wonder, was it, oh Dolly, this scene actually didn't quite work. We need you to refilm this. But I guess we'll just do it in front of a green screen and plop you in.
Yeah, potentially. Like, I took my notes as I was watching this. So it's very, very much my thought process. And what's written down is, awful CGI stars, cringe dance opening, whoa, this car is so out of place, because a car just appears, and it was like cars didn't exist in this universe, and then just this really modern, like, Jeep pulls up, and I was like, whoa, where are you coming from? And this is when we're introduced to Eva Regina, but my note is, oh, it's your one from Grey's Anatomy, because Felicity was also in Grey's Anatomy. And I had just recently binged 17 series over the course of the last 2 months, and so it's very fresh in my mind.
All I was thinking of is that your one is from Mamma Mia. I was like, oh my god.
She is, yeah.
That's the only, I think that's the only other place I've seen her.
Oh, she was in The Big Bang Theory. She was Leonard's mom. Leonard's mom.
Oh, Leonard's mom. Yeah.
But basically Sheldon adopts her.
You saw where I was going with that.
Yeah. But yeah, no, she's in a few things. She's in more musicals.
Oh no, yeah, I know that.
Yeah,
just personally, the first thing that comes to mind is Mamma Mia.
Yeah, no, that's very fair. And so during the course of this song, this is very much the exposition song, where we get all the information we're going to need for this film. So we learn that Regina is going to evict.
So you think? Do we need all of that information? I don't know.
Well. We learn that Regina is going to evict everyone, the whole town. So she's going around and she's handing out notices, and Felicity's following behind her being like, so sorry, here you go, my bad. And she just is giving out to everyone. She has this whole thing where, you know, she walks into the hairdressers and she's like, I know that we have been friends for many years, but get out. So we learn all of her relationships. There is a couple who run a little baby clothing store, and which is very on the nose. She sings about how she's desperate to have a child, and we learn they're getting fertility treatment, and that he's the pastor of the village, and so it's all like, you know, we'll pray.
I just can't believe in a village that small that a baby clothes business, like, shop is, like, fully booming. Going. Or do you think because her husband's the pastor, she doesn't really, like, need, like, the her little hobby. Well, it's more of a hobby.
Potentially. I mean, I don't think any of the, with the exception of the hairdresser, I can't imagine any of the shops we see booming.
Yeah, true.
Because Carol's shop, we go to Carol's shop next. And it's some sort of weird secondhand store, but also he sells sweets. And it's supposed to be like the general store, but I see nothing except sweets for a pound.
A penny.
Were they a penny? Shut up, that's
all candy
great value.
Being penny. Yeah. Or 1 cent, whatever it is in America.
Fair. I thought it was a pound. That's great value. To be fair, maybe he is booming because I'd be buying all the candy every day. We also learned that Regina's father died. And she's very sad about that. And she says this while standing outside Carol's shop. And I thought, because there's a sign that says back in a minute. And like with like a thing pointing. And I was like, oh, was that her dad's shop? And it's like frozen in time. Because he was like, I'll be back in a minute. But then he died and he never came back. I was like, that's very sad. It was not.
Jesus, Sam, that was a very in-depth analysis.
In the 2 seconds that we were shown her standing outside, I built a whole backstory. And then, oh yeah, I've written, oh dear, we have some very stereotypical hairdresser, dancers, and it's all just very surface level stereotype characters throughout the whole dance number, which if you go in expecting that, I think you'll relax a bit more. But I was going in expecting more of a movie with song, and it kind of threw me initially that it was just so, like, big and over musical. The top and musical. I was like, whoa, this is a lot. We also learned that there's an old love story from Regina's past here. And then I have written what you touched upon here as well, that the studio is a little bit odd. So you very much, the lighting is really off through a lot of these scenes, and it's very much like indoors, outdoors. Do you know what I'm saying? I personally didn't like that.
It's very clearly a set
somewhere
that just very, like, I'm fine with it looking like a set. Like, I'm fine with going in and being like, okay, this is clearly a set. But, like, again, that's very, like, musical theatre. Like, you know, when you go into a theatre and you look at the stage, you're like, okay, we're obviously not in the middle of a fucking wood.
Yeah, so. Yeah, but that tree forest background.
Yeah.
Totally.
So, like, I was personally fine with that because it was, because I felt, because once I understood what was going on, I was like, okay, so we're basically in a musical, like an actual musical. And so I was like, the fact that this is all like cardboard houses and that sort of stuff, I was fine with. But then what pissed me off was then we went to Regina's house and she has a fuck off mansion, which is clearly a house.
Yeah.
And I was like, now I'm confused because my perception is gone.
That was the problem. Like, that's what jarred with me.
I'm like, how is everyone else in a cardboard little house town thing?
Mm-hmm.
But we've gone to Regina and it's like an actual, like, Hallmark movie style scene.
Yes.
Where she's in an actual house with, like, actual, like, insides and all this sort of stuff with, like, proper lighting.
Yeah.
And it just, it was very juxtaposition,
mm-hmm.
a big contrast, and that really put me off.
Yeah.
I was like, if you're gonna do the low, low budget, stick to it.
Absolutely. There's a rule in theatre that's like, if you are going to use a prop, you need to have every prop. Or if you are going to mime a prop, you mime every prop. You don't do half and half.
No.
And I feel like it's the same with sets. You can't... Yeah. Like, it just... It really threw me. And I just found it a little bit of an odd choice.
It was like... Sorry, do you know what it was like? It was like going from a cartoon to...
Yes.
Real life.
Yeah.
Like, everything that happens in the square in Fullerville feels like a cartoon.
Yes.
Yeah. But then when you go outside and you go to Regina's house, or like when they're like driving on the highway, I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
What? It's like a different world.
It is a bit bizarre, yeah.
And it just it just really breaks your, like, not that it's like a very engaging story to begin with, but like it really like breaks your engagement on what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And then basically we kind of end the song by learning that Regina is selling the entire town.
I just don't think you could do that.
I also agree. I feel like this plot point.
But again, that's the kind of thing where, like, in a movie, this sounds stupid. But if you told me this was a musical theater and she was like, "I'm selling the town," you'd be like, "Oh my god,
drama! Whatever will they do? I hope there's a big musical number about it."
Yeah,
yeah. So she announces that she has taken over from her father, the aforementioned dead dad. And is selling the entire town. Everyone has to move out. And obviously the residents are gutted about this because they love their town. And, like, I will say, I enjoyed the first musical number. I've written down, this is horrific, but I love it. Because it was so over the top, so cheesy. But it's such a bop, you know?
Gotta get out of this town.
You know? It's really, like, musical theatre vibes and I enjoy it. And then, so the town has a little chat and the pastor is like, she will not get away with this. I have an idea. And so he begins a Resist Regina campaign, which really doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Every time they talk about the resistance, all I can think about is Star Wars.
Star Wars.
I was like, no.
We're starting a resistance.
Why did you call it resistance? I was like, this is so stupid.
Because resist Regina.
No, I
it's nice
I
alliteration.
Know why, but like.
Yeah, no. And then, so they're talking about the Resist Regina campaign. And then the wife kind of makes a comment like, yeah, but why do you love me? Which comes out of nowhere. Because there's nothing up until this point to indicate that their marriage is slightly on the rocks or that she's insecure. Yeah. And basically it's so that they can have a nice romantic duet about how in love they are. And it's fine.
I quite liked it. It was nice.
Yeah. I just
nothing like, wow, but like...
My problem is nothing like led to it.
Yeah, I do agree with the whole like... But I still don't... Like, clearly they've been married for years. They're trying for a baby.
Yeah.
And she's like, but what... It was almost like the kind of... It's like the kind of storyline you have for like a brand new like teen relationship. And it's like, but I don't get it. I'm the quirky weird girl and you're the popular guy.
Yeah.
Why do you like me? Like, oh,
what could you possibly see in just little old me?
Have you ever seen on Channel 4 My Mad Fat Diary?
I haven't, no.
The character in that, basically, there's this same thing. It's like the like, basically like the cute... like popular guy falls for her, but she is larger and suffers from mental health issues, and she's like, why do you like me though, like that makes no sense. And he's like, and he gets like all pissed off and he's like, why do I have to explain to you why I like you? Why can't you just trust that I like you?
yeah
like that kind of thing. And it's that's what I'd expect from like that kind of thing, like two
16, they were two 17 teenagers, year olds.
But not these fully grown adults who are very comfortable in their lives to the point where they're about to have a baby.
Yeah. Now, I get that she's feeling insecure because she does make the comment that, you know, his two dreams in life were to be married and have a child. And she's like, I didn't realize it would be so difficult for me to give you the second dream. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. My dreams in life were to be your husband and father our children, if it was meant to be. Like, I wasn't just ticking a box, you know, it was with you. You know, so it is like, it's nice. I just felt like there was no big like lead up to it. A bit more chatty scenes in between is all we needed there, just to lead into it. And then the very next scene is the hairdresser that we met in the first song coming to Regina's house. I was not expecting her to go to Regina's house. I don't know why.
No. Neither did I. But she was like, I'll see you tomorrow for my hair appointment. I was like, that's awkward. You're going to come back.
Yeah. And I think that would have been way funnier if she had to get her hair done around everyone just like fuming at her. Do you know? But apparently she gets house calls, which I guess makes sense because she is, you know, the owner of the entire town. So fair enough. But again, rather than two friends having a really like deep conversation, she just decides to sing at her while doing her hair. About how evil she is and that she feels good about it.
Now, I actually quite liked this song, but I was just confused as to where it was placed.
I agree.
Again, I was like, why are we doing this? Nothing against
the songs here. It's the lead up and the placement of them is jarring. Because, this is a great song.
Yeah, and again, I think that's to do with the whole, like, we're going to do a sung through musical, but we're going to do it as a movie, but still it also has talky parts. It's not a full sung through musical, but at points there will be no dialogue for about half an hour and you're like, all right, this is very confusing.
It's like, this is three very quick songs into each other. These are only a couple of lines apart, these three songs. So it is a lot very quickly in a very short space of the movie. And again, I think this is something that on stage would work because it's what you're expecting, but in a movie there was just no like lead up to it, because we're made to believe that these two are like really really good friends and have been friends, like that this hairdresser is the only friend she has in the village and she's just completely screwed her over and not even given her a heads up. And so a very lengthy conversation could have taken place beforehand and then led into the song. That's just my opinion on it. She leaves Regina with only half of her hair done. Although really, she did it perfectly and then she just backcombed one side of it to fuck.
That's what I thought.
I was like, do your own damn hair. I was like, she just has to brush it. So you haven't really fucked it up like bleaching. Yeah. If you're gonna ruin her hair, do something drastic.
Turn it green, like.
Yeah. And then as this is happening, we get a glimpse of Regina's mobile phone, which has a text from Dr. Marshall, and in full capitals it just says, call me. And you're like, ooh, she dying. This is you know, well, that's what I felt.
It took
anyway.
Me a while to realize that it was an actual doctor.
Okay.
I thought it might have been the guy from the general store that she tried to go see.
Okay.
I was like, is he, like, do you know the way, because some people are like, have PhDs and they're called doctor?
Yes.
I was like, is this an actual doctor or is this that guy? I was like, I'm confused. I think this that's whole movie,
a very big reach for a very simplistic plot so far. I think you reached, and Carol also, while managing a general store, went away and got a PhD. I mean, look, fair play to him if he did. I just, it would have been a very random subplot to get into. But she ignores this text in favour of going to Carol's shop to hand in his eviction notice, because yesterday, while the whole town was getting theirs, he was at the dentist. That's a little subplot that's thrown in there. We don't know much more.
My argument would be, did she not go to the dentist to tell the dentist he had to leave?
You make a good point. Maybe the dentist isn't in the village. Maybe the dentist is like outside of town. Maybe they don't have a dentist. But she goes to Carol's shop. She mentions that he has one of her father's old lamps. And he's like, yeah, cool. I bought a lot of his stuff. And she's like, yeah, cool. And that's really, it's again, very surface level. They don't really talk about it. And she says that it's time to let go. And he sings quite a lovely song about memories, about being the keeper of memories. And I really enjoy it, although there is a running gag with musical theatre fans of the song that's sung by an old man that you skip every time. that's very much this song. But it is lovely. It's nice to hear it. Would you have it on mute? Probably, because it doesn't really fit the rest of the bops.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a nice song. Did you think it was a nice song? I enjoyed it.
I thought it was nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, it's one of those songs where I'm like, I get it. You're sad. You loved her. She's gone. We're moving on. Let's go. Any of those songs about emotion, I just, if I'm not in the right mood,
this is
I'm
my
like,
favorite new fact I've learned about you.
I just don't care. Like, now, to be said, like, the thing is, like, if I really empathize with the character,
yeah,
or if I have been, if I've learned enough about the character for me to be like, oh, that's like in Waitress. I've never seen Waitress, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've listened to the soundtrack more times than I can probably tell. I listen to every song in Waitress because
Waitress
I feel
is
like
pretty sung through, so you have most of it.
Even though that's, yeah, so even though I've never seen the actual thing, mm-hmm. I feel like I learn enough about that main character that when it gets to her singing about like the child that's about to be born and all of this sort of stuff, yeah. I'm like, oh, this is nice. This is like, man, I hope she's okay. I hope this works out for her, like that kind of thing. But
yeah.
That's because I've had basically a full musical to fall in love with this woman,
mm-hmm.
and understand where
you
she's
have her
gone
whole
from.
Story, yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. But when you have these kind of things, I'm like, I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
I don't fucking care. You're,
mm-hmm.
you're just here trying to basically stay alive. Like, you're just like working in this town, in this little like in this shop in this little town, and that's probably all you're ever gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this sweetheart that I guess something happened. Like, I get it. You're sad. Like, move on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's heavily alluded to that Regina broke Carol's heart, but we don't know why or
mm-hmm.
how yet.
Why?
Just FYI.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he sings about memories and she's like, Carol, move on, and she leaves.
Me.
And then as she's driving, she nearly runs over her poor doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Convenient. And so the doctor's like, oh, Regina, are you all right? You were driving erratically. And I was like, no, she wasn't. She was driving in a straight line and you technically drove out in front of her. Just putting that out there. And so, oh, sorry. I want to point out, by the way, that technically she doesn't drive into him. Dolly Parton is like hiding in the background. And like magics a bit of a kerfuffle between them because she was refusing to go see her doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And Dolly knew that we needed to see the doctor for the plot to continue. So she made it happen. She is there still in the background. And so the doctor's like, I think you should come and see me. Did you get my text? And she's like, yeah, look, I don't have time. Just tell me. And he fucking does. I'm like, this.
Yeah, he's no. like, oh, it's not very appropriate to speak like this, you know, like in the square. And she's like, tell me now or tell me never. And he's like, oh, fuck, okay, right. Well, you might die.
That's true. There is a shadow on her brain, or like in the scan, there was a shadow, which could indicate it, from my Grey's Anatomy knowledge, could be nothing. But it could also be many, many tumours, and that needs to be checked pretty freaking instantly. But rather than like check it in, he's like, let's not panic, we'll do a workup, we'll bop you in next available time. I'm like, she wouldn't even get the results, she's not going to come back.
But also, it's like, we should arrange for the hospital. And then she ends up being like, we'll be there tomorrow, 10 a.m. And I'm like, That's not how a hospital appointment works. Have you ever been with the HSC?
It must do in this small town where there's only one patient per day, maybe.
Oh yeah, true.
Maybe they get to choose their own times. But yeah, I very much just felt like this would not happen. And again, this is something that on stage you'd be like,
yes.
They're not going to build an entire hospital set. Of course, he's just going to give her the news on the square. But like in a movie, you're like, no, this should be in an office. This is very out of place.
I think the only thing missing there was that they didn't make that into a musical number. He was like, the shadow's on your brain.
Little bit dying.
And she's like, the shadows. What shadows?
Shadows in we my don't brain. Know. that would have been a bop. That is a good
But
point.
It would have been, you could have made it funny, like it could have been a whole like song of her being like shadow, what shadows, and him being like, well, no, maybe not shadows, more like little smudges, or calm down, everything's fine.
Trying blood, being like, you're probably gonna live. Better just check anyway. Yay. Oh, again. Again, can't write musicals, but listen,
here we are. Live.
We have got some ideas, so if you want to hit us up. So Regina decides to go home, where Felicity, by the way, Felicity is the lady who drove her around and said she was really sorry to everyone who was getting a contract, but we haven't seen her since. I don't understand why she's not always driving Regina around. That seems to be her job, but
I guess she has like time off sometimes.
Maybe. I don't know. But she, Regina comes in the door and she's like, hi, there's the contract. And this contract, I mean, this is a whopper contract. It's easily about 1,000 pages long, like sat
but
up on the front table.
It's also like size A3 paper.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, that's ridiculous.
It's gigantic. And she's like, just wanted to make sure you saw it. And she's like, oh, Felicity, only for you, I would have missed it. And she's like, you're welcome. And she's like, oh, you were being sarcastic. I see. Because it is the most obvious stack of papers in the room. And so Regina goes and she sits down and she asks for a coffee. And Felicity starts moaning about her. And Dolly Parton just magics into the house and frightens Felicity, but then reveals that Felicity's an angel. Plot twist. Didn't see that coming myself, did you?
Bum, bum, bum. No.
Yeah. Felicity's also an angel, and this is part of her whole story, that she's gotta like get Regina's heart to change, then get her heart to change her mind, and then she can have her wings. And I did like, there was a nice little comment here of, can't you just ring a bell? And she was like, no. Which I enjoyed, little wink wink nudge nudge. I've actually jumped ahead.
I was about to say, doesn't she like,
this
doesn't
is incorrect.
Regina have like a sorrowful evening?
Yes, I'm so
of
sorry
crying about her dad.
She doesn't jump into Felicity here, she jumps into Regina, and Regina's like, oh my god, I actually do have a brain tumor.
because she sees the angel.
I've jumped ahead a scene, sorry. My notes are not comprehensive this week, can you tell? But she tells the story, yes. Dolly Parton tells her the story through song of the lamplighter, which is a parable in a Bible that her father was a really big fan of. And she just sings that. And it was just about the lamplighter giving hope. And you're right, it's a very sorrowful evening. Honestly, it's a bit meh, I felt. It's just Regina looking somber throughout this song. And then it moves on. And we cut to the town meeting where all of the...
Oh, yeah, that's how she gets to the pub. I'm like, I'm very confused. Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, how did she get to the pub?
I massively jumped ahead. So... all the residents of Fullerville are meeting to discuss the Resist Regina movement and what they're going to do. And they sing a little song about it.
This is my favourite song in the whole movie.
This is a bop. This is The Wickedest Witch of the Middle. And they are singing about all the things that they plan to do. There's a little old lady who looks really sweet and innocent who's like, we should rough her up a little. And she's so good. Everyone's like, all right, Grandma, let's like, we'll get back to it. And every time it cuts to her, she's like, are you sure we don't want to rough her up a little? But they sing about being the wickedest witch of the middle. Now, what I will say is, I thought the pastor was a little bit dark here. You know, because initially he starts off by being like, anyone got any ideas? And they all start singing about the various ways they could torture her. And he's like, maybe saying there were no bad ideas was a bad idea. But then he gets right into it and he's like, yeah, we could do all this evil stuff. I'm like, you're a man of God. Let's rein it in a bit here now. He gets right into it at the end, which I get for the musical purposes is needed. Yeah. But like, still. Mm-hmm. But Regina has decided to go to this town meeting. And when she arrives in, everyone is really horrible to her. And so she changes the deadline. She's like, right, well, that's fine, that's your opinion, new deadline, you have to be out by Christmas Eve. And everyone's like, but that's tomorrow. And she's like, uh-huh, bye. It's a bit of a badass move on her part, to be fair. And everyone's really hurt. I have written here as well that the acting is really horrific in this scene.
I think there's a lot of bad acting in this movie.
Like, these, like, because like, we know these people can act for the most part, anyway. But some of the acting is so like, oh, Regina, you evil person. How could you do this? Like,
it's a lot of like CBeebies acting. Yeah. Like, do you know when you have to overact for children so that they know what emotions you're trying to portray?
But you're not on stage.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they've forgotten that it's not a staged musical. You can act the way you would normally act.
But then I wonder, was the direction... we're going to make it like a stage musical. So everyone
But then putting it on a stage, I just don't get it. And then, oh yeah, so then everyone is really sad in the town meeting. They're like, oh no, tomorrow's Christmas Eve. That's really put a dampener on this meeting that we were having. And the pastor sings about how nothing is impossible. You gotta believe, and it's like, believe you can touch rainbows and things like that. I can't really remember the words, but there's
it's
that song.
It's very like, try, believe God is with you.
Yes. A little bit of our religious opinion there in the bottom. FYI. Yeah, they all sing about believing, which is fine, but it's, again, a bit skippable. Because they're just kind of standing up and, like, swaying. Well, like
considering we just came from Wicked Witch of the Middle, which was fantastic, to them being like, rainbows and sunflowers and love. You're like... That's literally, do you know what I mean? It's like, you can balance. Like, balance it out.
And then, so Regina has had a tough meeting, and then she can't find her keys, so she's outside and she's looking through her bag, and she's like, oh my god, maybe I do have a tumor, like I can't find anything. She keeps bringing up this brain tumor so that we're aware that she may be dying throughout this. And then she sees a pub and she's like, huh, I wonder if alcohol helps tumors, which is quite funny. She goes in, And this also, little girl.
The pub is called the Lamplighter's Lounge.
It is.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, mm-hmm. The other Lamplighter's
Lounge. Which, do you know, I have to say, I thought that was a nice bar name. I thought that would be a good bar in Disney. Lounge.
Yeah.
Like, how good would Mary Poppins bar be? Lamplighter's mm-hmm. Lounge. There we go. Just Disney, if you're watching or listening. I mean, we have stolen it from another movie, so I don't think we can take credit, but. Maybe talk to Dolly Parton. But she goes in and there's this lovely little girl who is serving the alcohol.
Again.
And she's like, what do you want? Whiskey? Slightly, yeah. She was like, aren't you a bit young to be attending bar? And she's like, she says something about like...
She's like, I'm growing up in the back of the bar with internet or something like that.
And yes, like, yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, that still doesn't qualify you for this. Like, you've got to be 18 to serve.
21. They're in America.
Good. Oh, excellent. I was like, 21? I was like, I was serving at like 16. Oh. I was like, I see. Yes, America. 21. But she's like, what, 8 at most?
Easily, yeah.
But she has a conversation with Regina. She pours Regina whiskey and then she pours herself a chocolate milkshake. And she tells the tragic.
I do enjoy that, yeah. I enjoy how she's playing this like old bartender esque character.
Tell me your sorrows, yeah.
Yeah, while drinking chocolate milk and eating pretzels.
yeah. And she explains about the fact that her father is at the town meeting. And her mother is dead. And she's like, oh, that's a really sad story. And she's like, oh, well, life's not a fairy tale. And Regina's like, amen. And then they sing a whole song about life not being a fairy tale, which, again, is an enjoyable song. Mm-hmm. And then Regina has a line in it about, like, there's no such thing as happy endings. And the kid cuts the song and she's like, whoa. No. No, there are happy endings. You just gotta make your own. They don't just happen like films. You gotta be happy with what you got. And everyone's like, or I say everyone, Regina's like, whoa, you're smart for an 8-year-old. And then she says something about the Wickedest Witch of the Middle. And the kid's like, yeah, she killed my mom. And Regina's like, what?
What?
Sorry?
Who?
And she's like, yeah, that's what my dad says. Because I was really sick and my mom went to go and get medicine for me, but the pharmacy was shut down because of the Wickedest Witch in the Middle. And so when she was driving, she crashed the car. And I was like, that's not really Regina's fault.
No, because the pharmacy, I can see where the resentment comes from, because Regina was making the rent so high, mm-hmm. the pharmacist couldn't afford to stay in the town anymore.
Yeah.
So the pharmacy had to close. But yes. What I don't understand is how the fuck is this random general store of crap and this shop that only sells baby clothes, how are they able to stay open?
But the pharmacy, which would
have constant income because mm-hmm. people always need drugs,
mm-hmm.
unlike all the other knickknacks that a pharmacy sells. You're telling me this, like, business that would have consistent income, especially by the looks of it. A lot of these town folk are old. Like, the older that's you true. Get, the more drugs you need. So I'm like, that just seems like utter bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah. And then the kid does say, you know, don't tell my dad, but I don't even blame the Wickedest Witch of the Middle.
Oh, yeah.
I blame me, because if I hadn't been sick, my mom wouldn't have needed to drive out. And I'm like, again... It's not your fault, guys. It's an accident. Sometimes life sucks.
Yeah, but like that's a very like kid way to look.
It is.
Like, oh, it was
and
my
I was
fault.
And like, this because... poor child. And Regina's like, no.
Yeah.
And that's all she's like, no. Because then the dad comes in and is like, what are you doing here? And she's like, no. She keeps pointing at the child and she's like, no. No, don't think that way. And she leaves. And then she sings a little emotional ballad, just a couple of bars long. I don't know if it held your attention, Kate. But
probably
about, you know, can it be, did she really cause that mother's
vaguely
death?
Yeah, yeah. She's like, did I, what could I have caused a death to this child? Oh my God. That's basically
and
what she said.
And she says, maybe she is the Wickedest Witch in the Middle.
Da-da-da!
And that's where she... And she thinks back on her father as well. She just has like this sort of thing where as she's walking back, she has all these memories of him. And then she comes home and this is where Felicity is having her little dance in the kitchen and Dolly Parton frightens the shit out of her. And we learn that Felicity is the angel in training.
Yeah, because she's like, because I could tell that obviously Dolly Parton was going to come out from that fridge because that fridge could not have been any bigger.
Yeah.
Like, but I was like, oh my God, she's going to be able to see her as well. I was like, yeah. Wow. And then I was like, holy shit, she is an angel. And mm-hmm. then I was like, wow, this story just got a lot better.
And Regina comes home and kind of bosses Felicity around. And Felicity's like, that's it, I'm done with her. And Dolly Parton is like, no, you're not. Everyone needs an angel, and then sings a whole song about everyone needs an angel. But like also weirdly, like there's a weird cutscene where she like makes Felicity like a ballet dancer that I was just not here for.
Oh, I quite like that.
Did you? I didn't.
I thought it was like in my head it was that Felicity needed to dance at least 3 times in this movie. And one of those had to be a solo, and so therefore they put it into this number. Do you know like those kind of like stupid things that are written in contracts sometimes? Yeah. That it's like, well, she needs exposure that she can dance, so we need her to dance at least 3 times, so you better make that work.
maybe because she does have her little dance with the hairdressers. Yeah. At the start that Dolly Parton gives out to her for. I just find that funny that Dolly Parton gave out to her for dancing with the hairdressers, but she's like, dance for Louis, like, dance, Felicity, dance. I'm like, all right, calm down. It doesn't really have anything to do with your angel training. But I quite liked how she was, like, putting her into small jars and, like, just toying around with her. Mm-hmm, I thought that was funny. Mm-hmm. So after the wonderful musical number, Felicity was supposed to be making coffee during this. So Dolly Parton magics coffee into her hand. And Regina walks in and is like, oh, Felicity, you're an angel. Which is a wink, wink. See? Yeah, we're like, she is. She is. We know. And so then she ever so slightly apologizes. So she's like, I've been thinking about what you said. And yeah, medical appointments are quite scary. I was potentially short with you. And Felicity's
I
like,
I apologize.
What? Is that what? Did you just... Are you saying sorry? She's like, don't push your luck. Just leave me alone now. But Felicity's like, oh my God. And Dolly Parton's like, see, you can do it. and then Regina reminisces about Carl. So they're driving. Felicity's taking her to her medical appointment. And she's driving her around. And she's like, so you grew up here, huh? Like, tell me more. And so she starts to reminisce. And then we get the whole backstory. And it is the most dramatic 10 seconds in this entire movie.
So, I was like, what the fuck?
Like, strap in. This is gonna blow your mind. So, when Regina was younger, she wasn't allowed to go to many of the dances for some bizarre fucking reason that's not.
That's explained. Also never explained. It's just never like, my explained. Dad didn't want... Because it was Christmas. Like,
yeah.
What?
But there was a Christmas dance that she was allowed to go to. But she had this boyfriend, Carl, and they were deeply, deeply in love. And she was so excited because she was finally going to get to go to this Christmas dance and dance with Carl. But when she arrived, she was looking for him everywhere. And then she saw him with this girl and he's showing her a ring. He's very clearly showing her a ring. But Regina is like, he gave her a ring. I was like, no, he didn't. Like,
He's still holding the box and yeah. He takes it out himself. I'm like, one, if you're going to propose, that's not how you do it. Two, if you're just giving a ring, let's say it's just a ring as a present.
Yeah.
You don't take the ring out yourself and be like, look at this ring. You give the woman the box.
Yeah, 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 exactly. You get down on me, you open the box and you're like, da-da. Yeah. It's just like, I was like, no, that's not what happened. Regina, like, oh, I wish... Do you know those times where you just want to shake a character? You're like, no. That was one of those moments. So she was so gutted and she goes and she sits down and there's like a single tear rolling down her cheek. And then this creepy looking fucker
so creepy. I was like, oh my god, what the fuck is this like, person doing? Ugh. Get away from this girl.
Like, whoever was acting it, apologies, but like, oh, skin crawling. He like clocks her from across the room and is like, hey, that's a vulnerable girl that I can take advantage of. And he goes over and she's like, he made me feel pretty. And I'm like, what? From what? Okay. So basically, he asks her to dance. And then she's like, I made a terrible mistake that night that would haunt me forever. And then she's fucking pregnant. Like, there's a scene where she runs down the stairs with a whopper bump. And you're like, wow. This is like,
I just can't believe that it went from the boy I was dating, I got a glimpse of him showing another girl a ring. And so instead of going to talk to him and be like, hey, I saw you showing a ring to Abby mm-hmm. earlier on. What's was that about? Like,
yeah.
Like, just, I just wondering, like, is there something I should know about? Like, are we finished? Instead of doing that, without ever going to talk to her boyfriend, she instead goes and meets up with this creep on the dance floor and then gets pregnant.
And cheats on him. Yeah.
What the hell?
Like, it's bizarre. Like, so Carol,
she's totally in the wrong.
Oh, 100. She cheated. Like, Carl thinks that she didn't show up to the dance, because then he's later seen searching for her on the dance floor, but she's off getting her jollies. And he then is, like, going to her house and giving her flowers, and she's like, I never saw Carl again. Like, what? This is just... First of all, I don't believe it. Because then, what she says then is that she had the baby, but that her father made her give the baby up. Like, there's a scene where she's like crying and she's like, please don't take the baby away. And she's like, no, I need to. And the child is taken from her. But I'm like, okay. And then did you go back to school? Or like surely the village...
Yeah, like, how did you never see him again?
I just don't understand how, like, right, in a small, small town. Sorry, I'm laughing. Okay. You all right, Kate?
Yeah, I'm okay. Sorry.
Kate was just having a moment there.
Sorry, so going back to school.
In like such a small town, how nobody was like, huh, haven't seen Regina in about 9 months.
I wonder did they leave?
But it doesn't seem to be, because Carol shows up at the house and the father just keeps her from seeing him.
Isn't that while she's still pregnant though?
Yeah. Oh, you think they left after that?
Yeah.
But how do they still own the town then? I know, like, all money now and
because
stuff.
He's a big philanthropist person, so he doesn't have to live in the town to own the town.
Yeah, but I just feel like in such a small town, someone's gonna know.
I feel like, do you know what probably happened? He probably sent her away after she'd given mm-hmm. birth to, like, some boarding school or something.
Yeah.
And that's all they would have had to mention was, like, oh, and then I got sent away.
Yeah, because that's, unfortunately, a story we know all too well here in Ireland.
Right, it's like, so, we would have been not unfortunately believable, but it would have been like, I had the baby and then I got sent away so that no one could see me, because then there would have been questions as to why no one saw me for 9 months.
Yeah, so made it that she had gone away for like school or something.
Yeah,
her education. But yeah, so she's like, I learned later the ring was for me, and I'm like, how did you not pick up on that though? Like,
dumb.
And she was like, it was the worst mistake I ever made. And I'm like, honestly? Yeah. Like, you really overreacted to one situation and look at what happened. Yeah. This just shows people, if you want to take a lesson, communication is key. Like, before you do anything dramatic in a situation, just take a step back and ask a few questions and just think about things. So while Regina is having this entire flashbacks, she is having the medical test done, by the way. And
oh yeah, she's singing in the thing.
Although, so is now, again, not that I'm a doctor or anything, but to me it looked like the wrong machine. I thought she was supposed to be getting an MRI. And that was
a isn't an MRI machine.
That was a CT scanner. Now, unless she's getting a head CT. I just feel like she would have needed a full MRI. If there was a shadow, you're going to do a full workup. Again, I'm not a doctor. I just watch a lot of Grey's Anatomy now, and they always use an MRI machine.
Is that not what an MRI machine looks like?
No. No, an MRI machine is fully enclosed. You're fully...
Yeah, that's what she was in.
No, she was... There was a very clear back to it. Like, there was a... Like, she's in a little donut hole thing. Because a CT, you go in and out. It's like a little donut. Again, I'm not a doctor. And I'm willing to be wrong on this. I just...
Oh, I thought she was... Anyway.
It's not the machines they use in Grey's Anatomy, and therefore... Incorrect.
Oh, well then, it's incorrect.
Absolutely. Because I've had a CT and I've had an MRI. But maybe she was getting a head CT, which is different.
Well, it's never actually mentioned what she's getting.
That's true. See, I would like to know more about the shadow on her brain. Like, what tests are we running here, Doc? But he's not overly concerned. Yeah, she's singing a whole kind of song, thinking back about the baby that was taken from her and the man that... was going to propose and she fucked up, all while getting her test done. And then she's just walking out of the hospital. And I'm like, they don't let you leave. I don't think they would let you leave with a possible brain tumour. Surely they would just wait for the result. Surely they're going to fast track those results. Why are you leaving?
I guess not. I guess she has to wait. And they're like, we'll call you when we have the results.
Oh, well. We'll talk about when she gets the results later. But as she's coming out of... Oh, yeah, by the way, she comes out of her, like, CT scan. And she walks down the hall being like, now I see I was evil. I have changed. I will be nice. And I'm like, what? When did that happen? Sorry, what? What changed you? it was... the weirdest jump I've ever seen. It made no sense. I don't know. Like, I don't see what changed her mind. That she thought back on her past? That...
with, like, today's information... put it... I don't know.
Anyway, she's fine now. She's gonna be good. So, is what she's decided. And as she's walking out of the hospital, an ambulance arrives... and the guy from the bar who's the little girl Violet's dad, he comes out of a car covered in blood,
and but not shirt, a scratch on him,
his shirt is just seamlessly ripped up one side. And I initially thought, I was like, oh, he ripped his shirt to make a tourniquet, you know, on the scene, or like to hold up again. But it's just cut up. Like, it's...
oh no, it's very much someone
took a scissors, because the material has rolled, and I was like, that is the worst costume I've ever seen.
It's very bad.
In my life.
There's also not a scratch on him. It's just... no, blood. He's
completely fine, yeah.
And I'm like, but also there's no scratch, like, it's proper like theatre. Like, there's no scratch on her either, except for this massive bandage on her head.
Around her head, yeah.
And I'm like, you're telling me there's no, like, there was no glass that, like, scratched into them or anything like that? No, yeah. No.
Basically, what we learn here is that Violet was unfortunately in a very severe car accident. And now they're worried that she's going to die. And the hospital, make some doctor that's wheeling her in is like, oh, we better try and get a good pediatric surgeon. I'm like,
what? No, they need the top pediatric neurologist.
Yes. Brain. And Regina overhears this and is like, Felicity, get me the top neurological peds consultant. I don't care how much it costs. Put her on a plane or a train or a private jet. I don't care how you get her here, but you get them here. And Felicity's like, okay.
No, but like, it's so... this really got me, because she's like, fine, blah, blah, blah. And Felicity's just like, pick them up. And yeah. Yes, I mean, Felicity is
so useless. No, just find out their name. I'm just curious.
Yeah, just find out where they are. And just maybe, Google like, it. Send them a text.
Just Google it and let me know, and then I'll take it from there. Like, very, very silly. And so... what I wanted to make a point of here is that these movies only work if it's a rich person that is going through this change. If she was broke poor, how is she supposed to have convinced the town she was suddenly good now without using her millions to fly in surgeons?
Do you know what my thing is? I'm also like, because then, right, so she goes and she's like, find me a bloody blah, that's fine.
Mm.
So then she goes off to like witherlingly walk by herself waiting for Felicity. And then Felicity, and then Dolly Parton turns up.
Yes.
And her and Felicity have a really quick chat.
Yeah.
And Dolly Parton's like, phase one complete. And I'm like, wait. Did you intentionally make these people crash their car so that Regina would have the opportunity to be a good person? She may not have been, but to give Regina the opportunity to be a good person and to find this neurologist for Violet.
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm like, oh my god. This woman, she this knew. Man's already lost his wife.
Yeah.
He's about to lose her, his child. All because you want this bitch of a woman to be good.
Now, but Dolly Parton is an angel and she knows that she will save the child, but the trauma she's caused is very different. And then there is a scene that, despite his stupid ripped shirt, not between Violet and the father, but Violet's lying in the hospital bed and her father is obviously upset, and he talks to her and he's like, I know you wanted to like say hi to your mom on Christmas Eve, so if you need to go be with her, you do that. And she, like, he has this whole thing of like, Diva's gotta leave a party early, which is something that she said back in the bar scene, and it's actually a really lovely story, and the dialogue in this scene is lovely. And then he sings her a song, and it's actually honestly a beautiful scene.
I felt more in this scene than I did with the old man singing about how he's sad, because I don't care why you're sad, but like this man, I'm like, oh my god, I've learned about your child to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've at least been given some sort of story about her, and context. I'm like, oh no, I don't want her to die, like,
yeah,
so I'm like interested in the song.
I just thought him giving, maybe I've been watching too much Grey's Anatomy, but him giving her permission to die and go be with her mom, I was like, that is so selfless. And aren't you, that got me. I was like, you're too cute. I was like, I hope she doesn't die, but that's like, God bless him. What a lad. That's true parenting there now.
It was like, also something to come to terms with very quickly.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, it was kind of like, shit, she might die. Just do it if you need to. Like, go for it.
Yeah.
And not like, hang on, Gracie. Oh, not Gracie.
Violet.
I don't know why I said Gracie.
Don't go into the light.
Do you know what I mean? It's like very quick. Like, look, if it's your time, it's your time.
Mm-hmm. Then
anyway,
Regina decides that she wants to go see Carol. And Dolly Parton's like, it's not a good idea. And Felicity's like, I think it's a great idea. And she's like, okay. Didn't do anything to stop it. So Regina goes to see Carol, who is packing up, because obviously this is the night that they're supposed to be getting ready to ship out.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, Carol, like, can't we talk? And he's like, no, I tried to talk to you, like, for years. You didn't return my letters or, you know, my like, visits or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, but I, you know, you don't know what I've been through. And he's like, you don't know what I've been through. And they have a really short, and he's like, please, can we talk? And he's like, no, I don't want to talk to you. And she's like, okay, can I buy this lantern off you? As in her dad's old lantern. And he's like, just take it. It's yours. Merry Christmas. And she leaves. She's got, like, she doesn't try very hard.
No, she really doesn't.
In this scene. For someone who claims to want to make amends. She, like, makes no attempt at explaining herself here.
No.
Like, zero. And it's so easy to explain.
She's like, well, if you won't talk to me, I'm not going to talk to you. And he's
very
like,
petty.
Okay.
Very petty, yeah. And so, instead, she heads away home. And there is there's a quote here, grief is love with nowhere to go. And that's in something else. I remember that being a big quote recently. And I'm sure Darrow Breen was talking about it. I think that was also said in some way shape or form in It's a Sin, and people were making comments that the two came out so close together. Isn't it funny that they both had similar dialogue? I just thought that was an interesting point, because it came into my head when he said it.
Well, it's a very, it's, there's a lot of Jamie Anderson. It's a Jamie Anderson quote.
I don't know who that is.
Neither do I. Let's Google him.
I was like, am I supposed to know who that is?
Jamie Anderson. Jamie Anderson is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Also could be a man. Jamie Anderson. Grief. Quote. No, still don't know who he is.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. I just thought it reminded me that that was a big thing over Christmas. A big conversation that I wasn't really involved in. And I was like, oh, it's that quote everyone was talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, so, there you go.
There, that's in here. So if you remember that conversation, this is where part of it comes in. Then the pastor and his wife are packing up their baby clothing store.
But at the same time, still buying stuff. People are still buying things.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman comes in. Scott, I laughed so hard. This woman comes in to buy something. And your one goes, Merry Christmas. And she just goes, mm-hmm. And walks out. And I assume it's because she doesn't have an acting license to speak. And they just they put like a voiceover mm-hmm. of someone going mm-hmm like over it, but and I assume that's why, because it's cheaper to hire people who don't have those licenses. But like, oh my god, I was just like, who when you're buying something, the cashier says Merry Christmas, and you're just like mm-hmm.
It's always a you too.
Yeah, it just it caught me. It just thought it was very funny.
Oh, that's gas. I mean, I completely missed that. Because what I thought was, like, gas. Because, again, they've not mentioned the whole, like, we want a baby thing in about an hour. And yeah. So every time she's, like, folding an item, she just slightly squeezes it close to her chest so that we remember that she wants a child. And I was like, okay, you don't need to hammer it home this much. And then she speaks to her husband and she's like, oh, you know, I can pack up the rest myself. Like, you can go and write your sermon, because obviously, you know, big night for you. And he's like, hey, God did the whole shebang in 7 days. You know, I can do it. It's fine. It's the shebang theory. And I thought that was quite funny.
Hmm.
That made me giggle. And then we start to see this montage of the entire village closing up and all the signs being flipped over to like closed and like all the stores being empty. And Dolly Parton sings a whole song about how, you know, if you really wish and you really pray and you really believe, angels hear your wishes and they know what to do. And I can't remember the exact words, obviously.
But at the same time, the school kids are having like this weird vigil for
Violet.
Outside
for Violet, yeah.
And I'm like, this is just, what a weird town.
I think that's cute. I think that's a nice thing. That must be comforting.
Yeah, like, I get it, but I'm also like, that's proper like back like middle of nowhere America type like attitude. Do you know what I mean?
Well, they did it a few times in Grey's Anatomy now, I will say.
Oh god, if I hear the word Grey's Anatomy one more time.
It was a big candlelight vigil at one point and it was like a big massive deal. It was very sweet. But so the kid, basically, yeah, as we get this montage and Dolly starts singing about angels, she does this thing where she kind of like flicks her hand and these little magic sparkles come out, and so they like hit Violet's head and she wakes up, as if that wasn't anything to do with the $1 million neurosurgeon that they flew in.
That's why I was like, whoa, so Regina spent all this money on this neurosurgeon literally for no reason.
Yeah. She's also outside of the store and she flicks her hand and the sparkles go into that pastor's wife's tummy, and she just has a sort of a like, ooh, moment.
I missed that completely. I didn't realise that was I didn't realise that had happened.
Did you? That's why we get that line that you're about to talk about later on.
No, because that's not what they say. They say we... Oh. There's no confirmation. That's what annoys me.
That's anyway, why, because she gets the little sparkles and I don't know, she must feel like a kick or something. It's way too early for that, but that's...
Bullshit! What, she's... Bullshit!
This is the magic of angels. I thought it was going to be like, have you ever seen Into the Woods?
Yes.
You know, when she, the witch, like, flicks it, because they, the baker and his wife want a child, and she immediately is 9 months pregnant. Oh, I thought that's what was going to happen, and I was like, if that happens, I'm going to lose the will to live, because that would just be so ridiculous. That the pastor would just walk over and be like, oh, brilliant! Fab! Like, let's not question this. That's not what happens. So just a little flick, just so that we know that something potentially is happening. And Regina's sitting at home and she's all very sad, and she looks up at her portrait, or the portrait of her father, and she's like, oh, she sings a little bar of like, you know, please help me light a path, you know, show me the way, how do I fix things? And so then she's like, oh, the lamp, I'll light the lamp. And she goes to light the lamp, and as she does so, she finds some sort of compartment with a Bible in it. But it's also a diary, which is slightly confusing.
Yes, thank you.
I've not known like... many diary... I've not bought many Bibles. The total of Bibles I've seen is probably, like, 3. But there was no, like, make your own notes section.
Yeah, like a notes section. Like...
It's not that I'm aware of, but maybe they've got different Bibles in America. And so there was... a part about her talking, sorry, a part where her father writes in the diary about the day that Regina gave birth, and she like turns the page and is like, the baby was called, and she just gasps.
She's like, but also it's just, this is just like fucking wackadoodle.
Yeah.
It's like he's literally written in it, Regina bloody blah gave birth to bloody bloody bloop bloop, who was given up for adoption, bloody bloody, and the child's name was... I'm like, who writes, what adult writes like that?
Yeah,
like, we're not writing as a 5-year-old. We're not like, today I went to the shops, in the shops I bought sweets. Like, that's literally how it's written.
Yeah, it really is, and it's very strange. And she's like, but what? That can't be. And then Dolly Parton's also like, you didn't see everything. And she like flashes her back to when he took the child. And because he cried about it, we're supposed to feel sorry that he took her child.
Yeah,
and
I was like, he's like, I just want the best for Regina. But this child, my grandchild, will never know. And it's like, this awful fake crying. And then all of a sudden, because of that, we're supposed to be like, oh yeah, he totally made the right decision, because he was sad about it.
Yeah, no, because he was like, it's a small town. People with small town people talk, and they have small minds. And I'm like, this is supposed to be the fucking village that you love, and you're some sort of big hero to everyone. Like, everyone's real sad that he's dead. They all keep talking about it. So, like, I'm sure they would have understood. Like, I don't know. It seems strange. So she reads this and immediately is like, oh, I must go. And she gets in her car, and then who does she almost run over again but the doctor? And he's like, oh, we have to stop meeting like this. Hilarious. And he's like, BT Dubs, you don't have a brain tumor. And I'm like, again, this is not news you would give.
He's literally like, oh, Regina, hi. And Regina gets out of the car and he's like, FYI, your test results were clear. I guess it was an old machine. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. What? Yeah. Again. Not news you would give just on the square. Chilling. And then she walks into the baby store. And they're like, Regina, we're closed. And she's like, I just wanted to give you this lamp. This is my father's lamp. And then it was my lamp. And in it was a Bible. our family Bible. It has our family history. And she hands it over.
She's like, "Arr!" And I'm like, oh my God.
And then the pastor reads the first line and his wife is like, oh my. And then we cut to a new scene where the pastor is going up to give... Sorry, first of all, the hairdresser leads a bit of a bop. In the church. And then the pastor goes up and he's like, hello, I can't wait to tell you my story for my Christmas ceremony. It's a story of a woman who was with child and she gave up that child, but years later she found the child, and that child was me. And everyone's like, whoa. I'm like, surely they know that he was an adopted boy. They must have done. And then he's like, and tonight I had the pleasure of meeting my birth mom. Everyone, please say hello. And then the doors open and she's like stood there all in white. When did she have time to go change? I don't remember. But she's...
That's what I was like. I was like, was she wearing white when she went to them in the store? Honestly, don't know.
She maybe had a coat on. Now she's taking off the coat.
This motherfucker has just entered the church in the most dramatic way possible, wearing all white to be like, yes, I am the pastor's mother.
And everyone's like, what, Regina? The wickedest witch from the middle? Like, what? And then she goes up onto the stage and she's like, hello, I have seen the error of my ways somehow. And I forgot my father's message. And so, you know, I'm going to keep the rents low to keep the spirits high. I am not selling Fullerville. And everyone cheers and accepts that. She asks for forgiveness and they're like, uh-huh, no problem.
Yeah.
Like, again, these people have surely found places to move to. She's probably cost them a great deal in financial implications and contracts that they've been tied into now. But they're all willing to look past this. And then we have a whole new song called Christmas Is. And as they're singing this, we wrap everything up in a neat little package, although Kate's not so happy about it. So we've got this whole song like, Christmas is the time of sharing, da 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 da. And then one of the pastor's wife just goes, Christmas is the time for grandmas, we hope there's one on the way.
We hope there's one on the way. Now, so you're I missed like the little magic fingers into her belly or whatever. But they're like, we hope there's one on the way. And I'm like, you hope? You can't be one whole. And then it gets even creepier, right? So they're like, Christmas is a time for grandmothers. And then they're like, we hope one's on the way. So, yeah. Okay, so you're going to be a grandmother. Maybe.
Yeah.
And then Carol. The dude,
Carol
is like, I'd like to be a grandpa that position's
Christmas
available.
Christmas is a time for grandpas, if I have any say. And I'm like, yeah, no, like, you what? Don't. Get out of this family moment, Carol.
But yeah, I just couldn't believe that we'd gotten through this whole movie where the whole fertility treatment thing was such a big hoopla at the beginning, and the only confirmation we get at the end of the movie is, yeah, we hope she's pregnant. Still haven't done a test or nothing, but sure, maybe you'll be a grandmother.
Too early for a test. I mean, jeez, Dolly Parton only did her magic about an hour ago. Gotta wait a while.
I just cannot believe that where was I going with that?
I don't know.
I can't believe how like forgiving they are of her so quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and again, this is something in a musical on stage, you'd be like, yay, happy ending.
But I feel like if I was a child given up for adoption, blah, 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 and I turned out that this evil woman who was trying to evict us all turned around and was like, oh,
I'm
surprise!
Your mom.
I'm your mum. I'd be like, that's great, get out. Like, you're a horrible person. I don't want to be involved with you. You're toxic as fuck.
I will say, it really irked me that there wasn't any more, like, processing done on that. That he fully just was like, oh, ma'am! 'Tis great. Like, I'm not the least bit concerned. I don't have any questions. Like, he just fully went with it. Which, again, is fine on stage.
On stage.
Yeah.
So,
And also, the child comes out of hospital during this big dance number. And I'm like, why the fuck are you out of hospital?
Yeah, I'm like, you obviously had a brain issue. There's no way you'd be let out of hospital within a day.
No. Not even a day. A couple of hours.
True.
This is all taking place in like one night.
Yeah, time confuses me a lot in this movie as well. I can't tell where when we are.
I think the whole movie takes place over about 3 days. But from the crash on is sort of one night.
One night.
And it's just like, I'm like, this child should not be out of hospital. This is quite dangerous. And then like, Carol and Regina dance. Because Carol's like, I believe you owe me a dance. And I'm like, fuck off.
But like, also it's so strange. Because the Violet's dad and is like, I heard what you did for Violet. Thanks so much.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, no problem. By the way, I'd like to introduce you to my son. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, and then there's like, a really funny bit where it cuts to like Regina talking to Violet, but in the background you can hear the pastor just going, I'll tell you about it later. I'll explain later.
Oh, yeah. I watched this whole thing with subtitles.
Okay.
Because I wanted to know what they were saying in the songs. Because you know sometimes when you listen to a song, you're not actually listening to the words.
Yeah.
You're just like, this is fun.
Bop into the music.
So I watched it with subtitles to like make sure that I was getting the full story. And I thought that was so funny. He's literally like, I'll tell you later, dude. No, I'll tell you later.
Yeah, as if it's like some gossip. Like, do you not know? Which I do you later? Yeah. Very strange. But Carol and Regina dance. And that's all wrapped up. That's the movie. Felicity gets her wings. And she magics on the top of some building with Dolly. All in white. And they have a lovely little sing song. Oh, also, there was a whole thing, sorry, that I, like, jumped over because it was unimportant. Well, it's probably not. In the church when Regina's, like, you know, pleading for forgiveness in the whole village, Dolly Parton's there up above as an angel and she turns around and she says, thank you. And Dolly's like, don't thank me. I'm the answer to your father's prayers. And then she's like, see, your father always looked out for you, that sort of thing. That's FYI.
Very unimportant.
Yeah. But that's
so yeah, that's Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square.
Christmas on the Square. Everybody's there.
And you can see the lack of Christmas.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't fully picked up on that until you said it.
Like, there's no like talking about presents or people Santa. Decorating trees or
putting up lights. We love an old small town lighting tree ceremony.
Like, it's just how many crackers would you give it?
Right, so I've been thinking about this a lot. Initially it was a low score and it's not gone much higher, but I'm thinking 2.5.
That was also out of 5. My answer.
I'm giving a point because Dolly Parton is a queen.
Uh-huh.
Straight off the bat. And then as I watched this early yesterday morning, and as the day went on, I did find myself doing the dishes, being like, Christmas on the Square, everybody's there. And I was like, oh, see, the songs are a bop. And I was like, okay, we'll give it another point. And then I just think 0.5, because it's all right. Like,
yeah.
It only earned 0.5.
I feel like, honestly, as the movie goes, I'd probably give it like a three almost, maybe 3.5.
Ooh.
But it's not a Christmas movie.
So it has to lose the point from you.
Yeah, there's not enough Christmas in it for me. For a movie, I don't hold many movies to that. But when the movie says Christmas in the title, that's when I'm like, bitch, where's my fucking Christmas? It. Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna go with 2.5.
Yeah, I think, and that very much lines up with the ratings on IMDb, it seems, is that it's about a 50-50 split.
Yeah.
But, like, overall, like, would I watch the movie again?
Probably not.
No. Would I put the songs on my Christmas playlist? Yes. Some of them. Not all of them.
The bops.
The bops would go on the Christmas playlist. Would I see the musical? 1,001%
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if it ever makes its way to the Bord Gáis or anything, be straight up there.
If anything, if any production of anything ever makes its way to the Bord Gáis again.
That's true.
By the looks of it, every UK tour doesn't have an Ireland date this year, so. So yeah, unless you've got anything else to say, I think we're pretty much done here.
I don't think so. We got a lot of... Oh, we did get messages. I did put it up. So we, as usual, asked you guys on Instagram, on the old Christmas Crackers pod, if you had any thoughts. We got some shade straight off the bat. I don't know if you saw this. From... Where are the notifications? I've lost all the... Aha. What? Oh, yeah. This is just a brief interlude while Sam tries to figure out how Instagram works. Craig responded with, "No, but I will watch it, as for the first time in weeks, it's actually a Christmas film." Back up with your attitude there a second.
No, don't be like that. Here I am again.
First of all, the week before Frozen was Rise of the Guardians, which is 1,000% a Christmas film. Mm-hmm. You gotta give us that. And the week before also, that was the Christmas Bunny. Not counting Rise of the Guardians, it was 2 weeks of not your typical Christmas film.
And I don't care about this whole Frozen not being a Christmas movie. Like, it's just a lie. Like, it's not a conventional Christmas movie, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But it's a movie that's watched at Christmas.
Yes. So. And it's our podcast. We can do what we want.
Yeah, shut up, Craig.
Chris KDSNY etc. Responded with, "My lovely wife watched it. I endured for as long as possible. Brackets, not very long." Which is fair enough, because I can understand, particularly if like musicals aren't your thing first of all, and then if you're not like because it's quite heavy on the religious aspects as well. So if you're already, like, I'm not overly religious, but I can sit through a musical. So I think that swayed it for me. Other than that, it would have just been very like the Christmas Bunny, which was too heavily religious for us. And I don't think I would have enjoyed it. Like, without the songs, this film fails.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Well, obviously.
Yeah. No, I know. But, you know, like, if you took, I think, like, it, with a good musical, if the songs were spoken, the plot should still hold up well,
right?
And it, like, it, you know, like Waitress holds up well. Yeah. That's still a very good storyline, very good character arcs. They're all fleshed out. This wouldn't, so that's fair enough. And then Disney Irish Belle responded with, "Wholesome in a Christian way, but I don't know if I could watch it again." And again, I think that's fair enough.
Very Christian. There is a lot of these like small town Christmas movies from America where you're like, oh wow.
And you see Dolly Parton is heavily religious as well. That features in a lot of her songs. So I can understand why that would feature heavily in her musical as well.
Yeah.
Which is completely fair. But as we've said before, Dolly Parton is a queen.
And anything she says goes, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty. If anyone's going to make us believe, it's going to be Dolly Parton.
It's going to be Dolly.
So there's that. We also put up a poll about a potential bonus episode based on last week. And that's got quite a few responses so far. Everyone's up for it except for Craig and the dads on the After Dark Podcast Network. They sometimes were like, what the fuck is this?
So mean, so unnecessarily mean.
So that might possibly be coming at you. We don't have a musical pick for next week.
No, so it's a surprise. So keep an eye out on the Instagram, and we'll be asking you guys for opinions of whatever one we pick for next week.
That's true. That's everything on my end. Anything else to say, Kate?
Nope. That's pretty much it. Again, Instagram at Christmas Crackers Pod. Stay safe, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.